We're thankful to the Lord this morning. Amen. It's a wonderful opportunity to be able to gather in his house in his name. And I was talking to my brother this week, and he had got had received some reports from believers in the Ukraine. And from what reports he received, the believers were gathering and having church even in the midst of the war. So the Lord be with them and keep them. Amen. Remember, there's believers there. Keep them in your prayers. And there's I don't know how many millions of people have come out of the Ukraine that are leaving there because of what Russia's doing. And so it's a trying time. Remember all the children. And I read an article or heard on the news, one I can't remember now, but they were talking about these children that were afraid of dying, and just little children. Because there's something going on that, actually what's going on, friends, it hasn't been like this since World War II. I mean, there's been other invasions, there's been other little wars here and there, but what Russia's doing, the likes of which we haven't actually seen to this degree in our lifetime. And just remember the people there in the Ukraine in prayer. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful, Lord, for your coming and Father and being with us in the song service and blessing the people and preparing their hearts and minds. And Lord, I ask God to be with us in this service. Guide us through your word this morning, dear God, and to be a help and encouragement to the people, Lord. And Father, I pray, God, that you will be with the believers in Ukraine and, Lord, and the people there, Father. And, Lord, you know all things are in your hands. And, Lord, as we see the prophecies that are coming to pass that you brought by your prophet, William Branham, Lord, seeing that Russia is going after the oil, Lord, but we know where we stand, and we're looking at the end time that much closer to leaving out of here. And I pray, God, that you would just, Lord, help us to get ourselves ready. For the Bible says the bride hath made herself ready, Lord. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would just be with us now. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Turn with me into Hebrews 13. Chapter 13, I'm going to read verses 5 through 8. I'm going to continue on with our thought of considering the end of their conversation. We want to take a look at part of the scripture that we haven't looked at or said much about up to this time. Read verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. You may be seated. He said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. The scripture says he had told us he would never leave us nor forsake us. So when we get to feeling like that some problem or something has arose, whether it's family, finances, job, or whatever it is, home or whatever it is, and we get to feeling, you know, so down over it and all that, he hasn't left us. We're not alone. We might feel alone, but he said he'd never leave us. Many times what it is, we've left him. In our minds, we've left him. We've left off our thoughts from thinking on him. And it says here that we, because he said he'd never leave us or forsake us, we ought to be able to boldly say, the Lord is my helper. In the face of every trial, in the face of everything, that all the things we face in this life, and we ought to be able to say, the Lord is my helper. We're not looking to ourselves to be our own helper. That's like trying to pull yourself out of a mud hole by your own bootstraps. You can't do it. God is our helper. Many times we get all bent out of shape because we're trying to do it and we can't see how to do it. And we're trying to make something of something and make something happen when what we need to do is rely on the Lord and say, the Lord is my helper. He ain't just my helper when everything is going great and I don't have no needs. He isn't just my helper when everything's just flowing smooth and I'm content and happy. But he's my helper when everything is blowing up. He's my helper when everything seems to be down and out. He's my helper in the midst of trouble. He's my helper in the midst of problems. He's always my helper. We boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what men shall do unto me. Don't fear, don't even fear what the devil tries to do to you, because the Lord is your helper. Now, the devil's got a shot coming at each and every one of us. Sometimes it seems like he's got one shot per day or more. But if you realize the Lord is your helper, God will help you through it. When you feel yourself getting frustrated, when you feel yourself getting all bent out of shape, it's because you're not relying on the Lord. You're trying to rely on yourself. Or you're sitting around there wishing, hoping for a fairy godmother to come along and wave her wand and turn your pumpkin into a carriage or something. That's not reality. I wish it was different than this. You can wish a thousand times, it ain't going to change it. But if you put it in God's hands, God's the one that can change it. He can change your situation, no matter what it is. If it's dealing with your family, God can come on the scene. God can take care of it. God can change it. Many times we want to go running around seeing about, especially when it comes to our children, where we want to take up for them. And we want to go do this and we want to do that. And I'll tell you what, that ain't the way to do it. The way to do it is committed to God. Let God come on the scene. Well, what do I do if my daughter-in-law or my son-in-law or whatever? Committed to God. Bible says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. It didn't say he'd cleave to mama and daddy. You got to let them live their life. Sometimes they may make mistakes. Just let them learn from them. Sometimes we try to force our advice when it's not even asked. Well, I'll tell you, if it was me, well, it ain't you. Amen. The Lord is their helper, not us. We try to be our kids' helper. The Lord is their helper. Now, he might use us, But let's let him do it. Let's don't try to do it. Amen. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 29. I want to read verses 11 through 13. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, the thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. This was words that were wrote by the prophet concerning Israel, who had come into captivity in Babylon. And God was telling them, you're going to be in captivity. And he said, it's going to be a long time, but I want you to go ahead and build homes. I want you to plant gardens. I want you to raise families. And at the appointed time, I'll bring you out of this captivity. And God had told them that when 70 years in Babylon had passed, that he would bring them out again and bring them back to Jerusalem. And so God had guaranteed that he would not forget them and that their hope of returning home would come true. Babylon was conquered by the Persian king Cyrus. And Cyrus then, after he conquered Babylon, he allowed the Israelites to go back home to Jerusalem after 70 years of captivity. So God said, I'm going to bring you to an expected end. And the expected end is, I've told you this is what's going to happen, so that's what's going to happen in the end of this. Now, I read this scripture from King James Version, but I studied it also from the New International Version. And it says in there, it says, I know the plans I have for you. I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And that's what he did. He told them, after 70 years, I'm going to bring you out. He gave them hope. He gave them a future. But there was a time of testing they had to go through. And what did they do during this time of testing? They didn't just let their world fall apart. They didn't just come apart at the seams, but he told them, go ahead and build a house. Go ahead and have families. Go ahead and raise your gardens. Go ahead, in other words, just keep living your life during this time. Just hold to the promise that I'm going to bring you out. You've got a hope and a future. Friends, I don't care what comes your way. You've got a hope and a future. I don't care what test or trial you're going through. You've got a hope and a future. God's got plans for you. And he said, I've got plans to prosper you and not harm you. Many times we think because that we're serving the Lord and we're Christians that we got to go around like beggars. That's not true. David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. I'm not guaranteeing you you're going to turn out to be rich. But God said he'd supply your needs. He's Jehovah Jireh. He supplieth the needs. He takes care of you. He's your helper. It says, then you're going to call on me and you're going to come and pray and I'm going to listen to you. What more of a guarantee do you want? You're going to pray and I'm going to listen. How many times do we get on the phone, call up and talk to this friend or talk to that one or talk to the other one? Well, I got this problem or I got this or that. I don't know what to do. And I tell you, I'm all down. I'm all tore up. When what we need to do is let's talk to the Lord, because he said he'd listen. I'm going to tell you something. You can call up your friends or call up your associates, and most of the time in back of their mind, they're thinking, I'm glad it's you and not me. But they can't help you. There ain't a man on this earth can help you. But God said he's our helper. And he said if we'll talk to him, he'll listen. And he'll hearken to what we've got to say. I'll tell you, friends, when I get to feeling all tore up, I want to just get before the Lord and I want to tell the Lord just how I'm feeling. It does more good to tell God how you're feeling than to tell anybody else. Nobody else can do anything for you. Tell God how you're feeling. And you'll seek me and you'll find me when you put half an effort to it. No, that ain't what he said, is it? If you put a little effort into this, you'll find me. That ain't what he said. He said, when you search for me with all your heart, you got to put it all in there. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, I want to read verses 6 through 9. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So don't just come with all your requests, but it says with thanksgiving. So be thanking the Lord for what he's already done and be able to thank the Lord for what you know and believe he's going to do. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now this peace we're talking about, it isn't just peace when everything's great. This is the kind of peace you can have in the midst of the storm. In the midst of when it looks like everything's going wrong, you've got peace because your trust is in Jesus. You know that he's your helper. You know he's going to see to your need. He's going to take care of you. He's going to make everything all right. Because the Bible says all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. Not just some things, but all things. God will take the worst of the worst and turn it around to benefit you. Now you might look at what the worst of the worst you've ever come through and wonder how it's been a benefit. Well, it's because you're looking at it with your carnal eyes why you can't see it's been a benefit. God, friends, listen. God can do more than one thing at a time. He can take care of more than one person at a time. While he's doing something with this person over here, what he's doing with that person from that person can affect this person. And it's not for us to sit around and understand everything God is doing. It's just to know it. It's in his hands. It's in God's hands. Sometimes we think, well, when it looks good, then it's in God's hands. No, all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. Look, when God is working on something in Brother Jimmy's life that's for his good, God isn't sitting around thinking, now, wait a minute. Now, I got to make sure whatever I do good for Brother Jimmy, that it's also good for Brother Jerry. No. He does what's good for Brother Jerry because it's on an individual basis. And he does, and God knows what's good for Brother Jimmy. And God can work on both of us at the same time. He's a multitasker. I'll tell you something. As a human, I'm not a very good multitasker. I have a tendency to put my focus and concentration on one thing and ignore everything else till I get done with this. My wife's a pretty good multitasker. God is a great multitasker. He can take care of all of us at the same time. Peace in the midst of the storm. He'll give it. That's the kind of peace that passes all understanding. How in the world can you be so at peace with everything that's going on around you? A peace that passes all understanding. How did them believers over in the Ukraine go ahead and meet and have church here a week or two ago? Because they had peace that passed all understanding. They're not trusting in the United States. They're trusting in God to take care of them. They're not trusting in good old Joe to do something. They're trusting in God to take care of them. That's why they got peace. We don't got peace because of anything political. We got peace because we trust in the Lord. Listen to this. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. So instead of getting your mind on all the rest of this and maybe what even you're facing or what's going on or trying to figure out your problem or trying to figure out a way out of it, think on these things. The Bible said, consider them who have the authority over you, follow their faith. I'm not up here this morning just trying to say good words to pump you up. But I live by faith. The words that I'm speaking to you, I live by them. Don't think I don't never have any problems. I have problems. But I look to God to solve them. Issues. Look, friends, everybody's got family issues. I'm sorry. But you just look to God. Don't go running around trying to straighten each other out. Let God do it. those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. The things that you've heard, do them. The things you hear across this pulpit, do them. And the God of peace shall be with you. Hallelujah. Brother Bram says in the seal of the Antichrist, said, if you're not positively sure that a deep settled love for everybody and a deep settled peace that passes all understanding, if that's not in your heart tonight, I'd raise my hand to God and say, God, place that in my heart tonight. I want to make a surrender. I'm wanting to come now. I really want it. I want to reconsecrate myself to you. You make me what I ought to be. Brother Ram goes on to say, and you know you're not hid before God. You can maybe fool me, but you can't fool God. Sometimes I've ran across people in Walmart and different places that, you know, hadn't been around church in forever. And they'll look at me and say, I've been thinking about coming. Well, I might believe them. But God knows. They can't hide it from God. I don't know what it is that makes them feel better by saying things like that to me. Because I don't think it does anything for God. I'll be honest with you, as a human sometimes, when I see somebody like that coming around an aisle, I'm like, oh no. What are they going to have to say now? What are they going to say to me now about why they ain't been around? There's somebody that has a mother to go somewhere else. And I guess they've told their mother that they come to church here. Because their mother expects they are. And then they ask, you know, and I get asked, and I said, I ain't seen them. So I don't know why this individual's telling their mom that. I guess it makes her mom feel better if she thinks that or something. I don't know. But that's a lie. Oh, well, let's go on. Brother Branham's praying, and he says, let this little unit this morning here at Branham Tabernacle purpose in their heart, we're coming back. We're going back to the foundation. God created me a right kind of spirit, created me a love, a peace that passes all understanding. Oh God, let them say, when I see anything going wrong, let me come back to the foundation and start again. Tear off the boards and come on back down again. The foundation has to be built right. Because no matter how high you build it, it's a heavier fall when you do fall. If you find yourself in the midst of a storm fretting, go back to the foundation. So what is it? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same Lord Jesus that stood and spoke to an actual storm, a physical storm, can speak to the supernatural storms in your life. Brother Luther Van says in the message of separation from unbelief, said, quit studying and figuring it out. Just let loose and believe. Oh, friends, I don't know about you, but that spoke to me. Quit studying and trying to figure it out. You see, in my human nature, I always try to overcome everything that gets in my way. I'm not one that just gives up. I don't give up easy. I don't like to give up at all. But I have learned in my walk with the Lord that I need to give up to Jesus. Because I can't solve all my problems. I'm one that was always trying to figure out how to take care of it. Study on it. Come up with a plan. Figure out how to do it. But he said, just let loose and believe. Just let loose and let God. Now, if we haven't let loose and let God, then what kind of situation, what kind of condition are we in? Brother Bam says, as long as you got yourself into it, there ain't no way. You know who the biggest enemy I got? Is William Branham. He's always in God's way. If I can just get him out of the way, and then God can go to work. And that's your worst enemy, is yourself. Just get yourself out of the way and let God go to work. The Bible tells us to lay aside every weight that does so easily beset us. This is what Brother Branham says about that. He said, lay aside all those things. Give time to an old-fashioned heartfelt pouring out of the Lord Jesus until the Holy Ghost pours down upon your soul and you'll get beside yourself. Maybe you can get with Jesus if you can get away from yourself once. You can't be with yourself and with Jesus too. You find out you're the biggest enemy that you've got. If I can get William Branham out of the way, Jesus can have a wonderful time. But you got to get him out of the way. You got to get yourself out of the way. Then Jesus can have a wonderful time in your life. I think about the woman in the Bible whose son had died. And she went to the prophet. And he said, ask her how things are going. Well, I'll tell you what, it couldn't get any worse. She didn't say that. I'll tell you what, I'm at my wit's end. I don't know what to do. I'll tell you, I'm just so depressed over this. I'm so down. That ain't what she said. In the midst of her son being dead, laying back home dead, stone cold dead, she said, all is well. How could she say that? Because she was trusting in the Lord. She was trusting the Lord who gave her that boy, could bring that boy back to life. She didn't come down there for that prophet to pat her on the back and say, poor sis, well, I just pray God will comfort you. That ain't what she came down there for.
She came down there to get that prophet to come back up there and raise up her boy. And she believed God could do it. So when he said, how goes it with your husband and your son? And all is well. But he's dead. I know, but God's going to raise him back up. All is well. She believed and trusted in the Lord. And that's how we need to be in the midst of our storms, in the midst of our problems, instead of pouring it on somebody else. Woe is me. We need to be able to say all is well. And the reason we can say all is well is because we have the peace of God in our heart. And we have the peace of God because we know that God is in control of everything and that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. He said, people ask him, what happens, Brother Branham, when you see a vision? He said, it's nothing in the world but just having a gift to know how to relax myself, to get William Branham off to the side. That's the biggest enemy I got is William Branham. He's always in my way. Sometimes we feel like this is in our way, that one's in our way, this other person's in our way. No, you're in your own way. If you can turn loose, let go, and let God have his wonderful way. He's always in God's way. I will say he's always gets in God's way. He's too tired. He don't want to do this. He don't want to do that. If I can just crucify that guy, God can use me. Well, I'm just too upset to pray. Maybe when I get to feeling better, I'll pray. No, you won't. Well, I'm too tired. Tell you what, we're in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And he wants some communication. He wants to hear from you. He wants you to pour out your heart. He wants you to ask him for the things you need, even though he already knows your needs. He said, when you seek me with all your heart, you'll find me. You'll pray, and I'll listen. Hallelujah. And he'll bring you peace. Right in the midst of everything being turned upside down, seemingly, God can bring you peace. You might have a loved one that it looks like that they ain't ever going to come to God. You might have a daughter or son or a sister or brother or something. It looks like they ain't never going to come to God. But you can have a peace. Because you know what? There was a time maybe in perhaps in your life when it didn't look like you were going to do the right thing. But God will come on the scene in the right time and the right season. You say, what is the right time and right season? Maybe God's got to knock them for a loop. Maybe God's got to bring them down to death's door. If that be what it takes, then I say, so be it. Because I'd rather lose them in this life and have them in that life. than to have them in this life and have lost them in that life. Committing all things to the Lord. Brother Branham says, a man never knows how to live a victorious life till he's completely overcome. Overcome who? Overcome himself. That's the biggest enemy you've got. That's the reason you can't rise up in faith, because you've got intellectuals and your intellectual part says, well, this or that. It's a reasoning. We want to cast down reasonings. That's what the Bible tells us. Completely overcome who? Yourself. Conquer self. I hear people talk about ruling and reigning in the time of the millennium, and their life is a total wreck spiritually. And I think if you can't rule over your flesh now, what makes you think that you're going to be able to be even be in the millennium? But it's not a rule by self-will or mind over matter. It's by giving control to Jesus. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. See, that's the problem sometimes. We try to go about our war with carnal weapons. Reasoning's a carnal weapon. But our weapons, because the warfare we're in, friends, is against spiritual things in high places. It's against principalities, rulers of darkness, demons. Let me tell you something. You're 38 or you're 9 mil ain't going to do nothing when it comes to a demon. That's a carnal weapon. But the Bible says, our weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Weapon, prayer. Weapon, faith. Brother Branham talks about how that he would see in the services demons while he was preaching, coming, rising up off somebody and screaming out for help because they thought the individual they were on was getting ready to believe. See, that's a weapon. If they would start believing, it would pull down that stronghold that demon had over their life, and they'd be set free. Why? By simply believing. How's my situation going to get better? By simply believing. You know, sometimes people, you know, I know God said he'd supply our needs, but you know God gives us our wants too? Sure he does. Brother Bram said, ask God for big things. God loves to give you big things. God can supply. Look, friends, do we need streets paved with gold. But we're going to have them. Do we need walls of jasper? Nope, but we're going to have them. Brother Branham says he's built that city to the things that you like. Don't tell me God don't think about what you want. He does. And this morning, if you want the Holy Ghost, God can give you the Holy Ghost, because that's a gift. That's a promise. Ain't nothing you got to do for that except just believe and receive it. But I've had people expecting the Holy Ghost to be like a giant bubble. Nothing's going to go wrong once I get the Holy Ghost. No, Brother Branham said, you just got in the battle. You were floating along with the current up until you got the Holy Ghost. When you get the Holy Ghost, then all the devils in hell are against you. But you can conquer them. The Bible said when David was anointed king, all the Philistines came against him. Friends, I'm going to tell you something. David become the Philistines' nightmare. I'd like to become the devil's nightmare, wouldn't you? I've had some nightmares. I'd like to be the devil's nightmare. I'd like to be one of them that the demons say, I don't want to mess with that guy. I want them to look at the devil and say, Master, don't send me up there and mess with him. Send me somebody else that's a lot more easy. You say, that's ridiculous. What about when Brother Branham said the devil would rise up off somebody and scream out to another demon for help because he thought they were going to believe? They hadn't even started believing yet. But the demon just thought, I think they're going to believe. I need some help over here. But Brother Branham could see into that realm and see those things going on. I'm thankful that Brother Branham told us about the things going on in that realm. I'm glad he told us about the things going on in the realm when the angel of the Lord would come. Brother Branham said, we have to humble ourselves and empty ourselves out for God to manifest himself through us. Empty up yourself. Get yourself out of the way. That's the biggest enemy you have is yourself. Empty up. Get yourself out of the way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord is my helper. Consider the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Brother Branham tells a story about a woman named Miss Weber. And she was sick and dying. Some women came up there to see her, so-called Christians. And they got up there, and she said something about Brother Branham praying for her. She was dying of cancer. And they told her, oh, there ain't nothing to that guy. Said, he's nothing but a hypocrite. Said, he's just a big fake. All that religion is just a bunch of fake fanaticism. Here she was laying here dying, and she said, look, I'm dying. I know that. But I just want to stand, I'm not going to stand still for what you're saying. And she said, I know better than that. I've lived around this city and I've been around that man all my life, seen him from a child growing up. Said, you can call it fake if you want to, but I've seen God heal people. And I know that man's life and I know it's the truth. And Brother Branham says, and it happened to be that the angel of the Lord heard her. It happened to be that the angel of the Lord heard her. And the angel of the Lord came to Brother Branham. Brother Branham said, I saw him come in. And he come walking through my door. And he said to me, tomorrow, they're going to pick up Miss Weber and bring her down to the service. And she's going to be sitting on your right-hand side, far back in the tabernacle. And said, I heard her tell her I heard what she said. And tell her, thus saith the Lord, she's going to live and not die. He said, the angel of the Lord's presence was there when she was taken up for what was right. He said, God can do the same thing for you if you'll have that respect. Amen. He said, not respect for me, but respect for God. He said, you give respect and God will do the same thing for you that he did for Miss Weber. Why will he do the same? Because he's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. God can do it again and again and again. He's the same God today that he always has been. Hallelujah. Yesterday and today and forever the same. There's no reason to doubt God can do it again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, in faith and action, the Holy Ghost saved me, and the Holy Ghost give me this. The Holy Ghost is good enough for me to trust. I know if I put him to action, it's his word, God will bring it to pass. If you only knew what you know and put your faith to work, God will do the same thing for you. The God of Moses is not dead. The God of David is not dead. God is still alive. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Amen. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We're thankful for your word. Lord, we trust that it's been encouragement to each and every one. It's given instruction, dear God. It's given direction. Lord, it's been a reminder. Lord Jesus, Father, you remind us from time to time, Lord. The song says, show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Lord, but show me where I'm at now. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. As the old lady said, I may not be what I ought to be. I may not be what I want to be, but I'm certainly not what I used to be. Hallelujah. You brought a change in us, Lord. You brought a change in me. You brought a change in each and every one of us, and it's been by your eternal word, Lord. God, this hasn't been words just spoke by men across the pulpit, but Lord, you've come here and spoke to your people time and time again. Lord, not just through this one microphone, but Lord, you've spoke through several different men that have stood here over the years and have spoken to your people, evangelists and pastors and visiting ministers, Lord. Lord, Father, you come time after time, service after service, just to show us that you care. You're thinking of us. Hallelujah. Lord, we should put our thoughts on you. I pray your blessings on your people this morning, dear God. I thank you for taking care of them and watching over them. And I pray, God, that you continue to watch over this little congregation, this little flock here. Keep them, I pray, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Praise God.